It is AFQ. Oh, it is AFQ, George. It's our second attempt at starting AFQ. It's Neil Atkinson hosting. Craig Hannon has created for himself a little den. I want us all to describe it in a gentle and loving way. I've got Dan Austin, I've got John Gibbons, I've got Tim Rattini, I've got George Trad. Dan, what do you think of Craig's den?
Good idea, poor execution.
Really?
I spoke to him at Dover, and he said that he's barely slept in the den, which, considering the amount of sort of infrastructure he's put in place, feels like a less than adequate result.
He's got a yoga mat of sorts. A thick yoga mat, and he's managed to position it between two sets of seats that are back to back on the one hand. What I think must be difficult is the concept of being stepped over. I don't think you get much rest when you're being stepped
over.
There's very little dignity in it.
Well, to be fair, before I woke up from snoozing when I got myself with water, and the way I described the corridor was the last lengths of the Grand National. Because I got to Beaches Brook at the end, up here, Johnny Milburn's legs, and it was a big step. It was big. Yeah. It was like the chair, almost.
Because you
went over it, and then he was big at the end.
Did you straddle him to get over him? Because I had to before.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I really hoped he wouldn't wake up at that one point, you know what I mean? When I was just standing there.
You know, like sometimes in the Nationals, when one horse goes and takes out another one, that's when I was...
So basically...
I was going to get unseated. Through no fault of my own.
Like, down our end, quite difficult, but you get to Craig, you can't really see him. Have you seen an own bargain when you can buy them cat beds? It's like an auction for a cat.
Yeah.
About the same size, about fucking 4 inches bigger is. That's what that looks like. He's got nowhere to put his arms. He's got nowhere to spin. He's got nothing.
He's got nowhere to spin.
I think what we've got is, like, visually, look at the end of The Wizard of Oz, where the Wicked Witch of the West is dead, and you can just see her feet sticking out.
Yes.
That's exactly what I've got from where I'm sat here.
That is the visual.
It is
the visual.
But his legs have gone pyramid-esque around the arse end of the chair as well.
Yeah. So I wasn't expecting this much analysis.
frame by frame, but I love it.
When you asked Dan what you thought of his Craig's bed.
He will not sleep. Let's put it one way. He's not going to sleep.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Should we keep talking about him?
We'll find out when he gets himself in and gets himself settled. So I've said we've got Dan, we've got John, we've got Timo, we've got George. We are approximately an hour outside of Paris. John, is that the talk? Do we remain on course for an hour outside of Paris?
Shockingly so, yeah. We're getting there 1:30. Someone from Five Lives meeting us off the bus to, like, someone who's finished a marathon, asking how it was. How are you feeling? What are you raising money for?
You're going to be almost disappointed by fine, to be honest with you.
Could be a big hour.
It could be a very, very big hour indeed. So we'll go through it. We'll go through your questions, asked for them a while back. And this is what we've got. First one is from Donald McDicko. Timo, and he just wants to know this. What's going on your toast?
Cheese.
That'll do me. What's going on your toast?
I've had this before and people think I'm weird, but so I've margarine and cottage cheese. I think I got it from me, Dan. People think I'm weird.
Okay. I have cottage cheese on toast with sriracha on it. Boss, you know.
We'll chat later.
Okay, what do you have on your toast?
Bacon, please, as long as it's not the boiled gear. Boylan's Cafe.
Boiling
or
everything.
Or the Irish Ferries.
Boylan's Brasserie?
Yeah.
There's a brasserie, mate.
There was a brasserie, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Boiling the shit out of your breath, you don't even do it with
me. It's better than the bar. I said to Billy, I wouldn't mind a pint, because, you know, we've been drinking cans on the bus. It was like I hadn't seen a pub for 4 years, the way I was talking to him when I was there. And then, so we went to, found one bar, like, called, I don't know, Sean Essie's or something, and it was all shut. And then I just went for a wander to the end, not expecting to see anything. And then there was like, oh, there's another bar here, just came out of nowhere. And they had cups on everything.
Wow.
Apart from Strongbow. And I was like, I'm not that desperate for a pint, so I'm not right to Strongbow. So we just left him, bothered Joe Campbell instead.
Joe aggressively fell asleep on you.
Yeah, he did. He had enough.
Are you going with cottage cheese then? Is that what you have on your toast, or do you have it sometimes?
In normal circumstances, I have cottage cheese and sriracha on my toast as my breakfast.
Wow. Incredible stuff. I didn't expect two cottage cheese answers. It's quite the way to get yourselves onto registers.
It's not something I ever have in cottage cheese.
Just 4 with toast in the morning.
Why do we have the same breakfast? That's mad, isn't it?
Well,
you're yours.
Well, we will next week.
It's boss, you know.
Okay. Unbelievable, really is. Did not see it coming. What else have we got here? I'm just trying to work all the way through. I've had a question as to how were the sausage rolls?
I haven't had one.
Right. I partook in the sausage rolls because they went missing. There was a bit of a scandal towards the back of the bus at one point because John, there was accusatory glances flying around the bus because John was like, someone's had me sausage rolls up when I've been asleep. And it happened that the sausage rolls were under the seat the whole time. after a 10-minute search, we got the sausage rolls out. Now, I'm a fan of a room temperature, quite sweaty sausage roll. So you know when it's been like left for a while and it goes that really easy to eat? And they were M&S, so the sausage rolls were excellent. I had a sausage roll for breakfast and it was boss.
Tremendous.
So bang into it.
Excellent stuff, genuinely brilliant.
I like the idea, if you want a good sausage roll, put it under the sea for 8 to 10 hours.
let it mature. Like yeah. A fine brie on a rug.
Nigella Lawson in the cookbooks, like, then lose them for a bit.
Then blame Joe Campbell and he's after
them. I'm not naming any names.
Yeah, he came down before he went, you give me that choppy vodka last night, so I went to sleep and you vet me sausage rolls, and that means I haven't, I promise you.
Is that why he's hard?
Yeah, he's asleep.
I'm going to ask you the question. I'm not going to, I don't want the answer to it now, but I want you to think about it as we go. What's one song that will be improved by Bagpipes? So you just have a little think about that. You don't have to do anything with that right now. We will come back to what's one song that will be improved by Bagpipes. Carl Cop asks a key question. Dan Austin, what's your favourite service station?
The one somewhere in the northwest of France. That has a child's play area, including a big red bus outside of it.
Oh, I've seen those photos.
That we very much made our own.
Ours.
On the way back from Madrid, didn't we, Timo? He spotted it outside. We knew we were missing the parade when we come back from Madrid. We'd stopped at La Rochelle the night before, so it was about an hour away and we were still in France. Timo goes out for a ciggy out the back, comes back in and says, come with me. In a way, it just sounded like the most beckoning invitation I've ever had in my entire life, Neil.
When there's no further explanation, he's just coming.
He took me outside and an enormous red bus for us to celebrate the European Cup on. I've got no idea what it was, no idea what it was called or what else was going on in it. But that service station genuinely always holds a place in my heart.
And the toilets were like on an extension, weren't they? Remember the toilets being outside the service station, like a porter cabins? I remember that party scene.
They didn't quite move me as much, to be
honest. Yeah, it was a good service station. Everyone goes on a double up north, what's it called?
T-Bay.
T-Bay is good. It is alright. I think it's a little, I don't know. I like Charles Richard, mate. Reminds me of going to Camelot when I was a kid. When you buy Camelot, it was Charles Richard.
Ad Amelia says he likes Charles Richard because he likes a service station with the first and second name. Name, surname, game, Charnock Richard, not Charnock, oh, yeah. Mr. Richards, yeah. Charnock Richard to you.
I'll go there, yeah.
John, what is your favourite service station?
I do like T-Bay. I like the farm shop more than the dining area. I like the vibe. The coffee shop's good as well. I really like the M6 Top. I feel like they're making more of an effort because they're like, come on, I know we keep putting it up. Oh, it's a full good service, isn't it? There's a good variety of options. I think they're packing a lot in to a relatively small.
There's a pond out the back as well, isn't there?
Yeah. And they don't sell ale. Good to a private road.
Is that right?
Yeah. We struggled when we went to Wembley. They don't sell ale on that one.
Is that right?
Yeah, so.
No, well, I mean that's a mark against it. But to be honest, if I'm on the M6 tunnel, I'm normally driving, so I'm normally like that bother just up. But a good stop. It's halfway to London, more or less. I like the M6 tunnel.
Okay. George, best services.
Can't think of any in the UK that stand out apart from T-Bay, but the most memorable one for me is that I was driving through the Czech Republic on my way to Vienna and I'd crashed the hire car, so put a big dent in the bumper. So I'm shitting myself about it because I don't think I'm taking the extra insurance because that's what you do, I don't crash hire cars, I'm not a dickhead. So I was in the service station and I bought a pack of Sharpies and coloured the bumper in black. And when I got to the dropping the car off in Vienna, the fella didn't notice. Up the rest. So that one, whatever that one was in the Czech Republic.
excellent stuff. The wonderfully named Robert from the Crypt asks, really good, one of the best for a while, asks, what is your favourite French word or phrase used in the English language, George? So a French word or phrase.
Well, I had the realisation at Christmas, actually. I was watching Home Alone, and there's a bit in Home Alone which, as a I don't know, 10-year-old kid, when it came out, that I didn't understand. And then watching it as an adult, his cousin says to him, you're what the French call les incompetents. And that was just noise to me as a child because I hadn't studied any French. And now I know what it means. So it's just nice just to call someone Les Incompetents. So there you go. It's beautiful.
Excellent.
And I only discovered it about 6 months ago.
Excellent. Timo.
God knows.
Okay.
I haven't got an old French phrase up my sleeve today.
Okay.
I might if we ask this question again on the way home, I might have a few.
I've nailed it.
I mean, je ne sais quoi, as a certain je ne sais quoi.
Oh,
definitely. So, yeah, it just sounds well better in French than I don't know what.
Yeah.
So, yeah, je ne sais quoi.
Okay, Dan?
I like flâner, which is rare. We do hear it in English, and it means a man who ambles or saunters around town, observing what goes on.
I like that.
Which I think is just a great way to live your life.
I like that. That man, the ambler. So flâner.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. I like the new one because it sounds well better than the end.
It is worth saying. A good
one. Au revoir. Is that French?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Explain some.
Well, God, we all got there in the end. Luke asks this: what's one song that will be approved by bagpipes?
Wonderwall, Oasis. The end part, what comes in on the violins on bagpipes instead?
Yeah. Or whatever as well.
Yeah.
Get some bagpipes in at the end.
Get
of
on that.
Yeah. I mean, most songs will be improved by a bagpipe song.
I'm not sure.
But, I don't know. Disco lights.
get the boys up.
Yeah.
I can actually think of a song with a bagpipe solo in it. John Farnham, You're the Voice, has got a bagpipe solo in it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Corn as well. Slipknot one them too. Is that a song with
Scotland the Brave says.
Imagine trying to sell that in the studio. So right. Yeah. We're thinking bagpipes now. Everyone's
big,
like
big end.
It's not for me. It's not nice noises.
I was thinking of Gimme 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 by Abba, but mainly because we're just thinking about it a lot at the moment. It was that and obviously Hook Up, which samples it, which was really big on the FA Cup, so maybe on the FA Cup final on the way up, so maybe just sort of comes to me to that. So first of all, I thought Hook Up by Mum and Donna, but then I thought it was a bit of Gimme Gimme Gimme, where it goes bah, 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 and then it goes back into the verse. Yeah, just get some bagpipes in there. Yeah.
Feeling in my partnership, builders would do well with it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, oh, Matty's probably got fucking bagpipes on the next album.
Yeah, he probably has, yeah. Probably playing them himself, I was playing guitar. And the harmonica. Yeah.
Dan. Born to Run.
Ooh.
That's
what I Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Comes in out of nowhere. Yeah. Well, he's taking himself dead seriously.
Yeah, for about 4 minutes
in. Yeah,
really.
Suddenly.
Yeah.
I'd like them to do a version of it now. So it's not sort of retconned, it's not like it's always existed.
Yeah.
But someone just lashes it on a Spotify queue. They get 4 minutes into Born to Run. And this mad lady bagpipe. What
the fuck's this?
Yeah, the boss. And the boss says, blow, big man, blow. It's going right the way through. Excellent stuff. Love that to pieces. All really, really strong answers. Okay. No, I'm not going to ask that one because I don't entirely understand it, and I think I need to in order to be able to get the best answer. James Guy asks, and I think that there might be a bit of a split on the table as to who can and can't answer it, but I want to hear the answer from those who can. What's the best current CBB show?
Okay, well, I'm obviously in play. Yeah, very, very much so. I mean, it's what I like and what Ted likes aren't always matched.
Not always aligned.
Laura's banned a couple that she particularly objects to. So when Bing comes on, it goes off.
Is this on moral grounds or irritants?
I'd say irritants, but it's a little bit more than irritants. Like Bing, she thinks is a crying cunt. And she doesn't want Ted to turn into a crying cunt. So it's not just like this is doing my head in, it's like it's sort of influence really. So
I don't know what.
Hey Dougie's good. Clang's good. Hey, I really like Hey Dougie because it's mad and it's short. And they'll just throw a banger in every now and again. So I like it. It's good. They do a nighttime story at 10 to 7. Yeah. And you get fucking. Harry Styles did it this week.
Will Smith. Will Young.
That's the first and last time those two have ever been confused with each other, by the way.
But you don't know who's going to do it, so it comes on at 10 to 7.
Ryan Bowman, like, I don't think
did he? Did he?
Yeah.
It's just a different person, and sometimes you're like, I don't know who this is. But yes, Steve, Harry Styles.
Really funny.
Harry Styles in his spotty brown pyjamas doing a bedtime story.
There's one called Jojo and Gran Gran, which is good.
What's it about?
A little girl with a nan in London, and they just do different stuff together. But like, they see all hipsters and that wearing like markets with caps on, little poodles and stuff. And I like In the Night Garden's fantastic. It's really good.
Ted loves that at the moment. Yeah. Eagle Pickle. Ted loves that. It's quite long though.
We had Wiggle Wiggle by the Altair Brothers on the way to London. We were singing Eagle Pickle instead of Wiggle Wiggle, which is really good. And there's another one as well which I can't stand. The lad who sings, he looks like he's in like an ex band.
Yeah.
I like it when he goes and does like the CBeebies shows. He has an entourage to keep the kids away from. That much of like a star.
The kids want to
just kids want to get by him.
Really low rope.
Yeah.
It is funny though, like how you sort of change. We're going like, so I'm off for 2 weeks in June. Like, I think everyone at the Anfield Rap's having a bit of a go, and it's some time off because we just haven't. And we're going to, there's a CBeebies world in Hotel, so we're going. I'm dead excited. Ted's going to fucking lose his shit. Because obviously he's got no idea he's going to get there. But Ted's really bad for like, when we go to like a soft play or something, he'll go on something really like it and just want to do that all day. And I'm like,
stuffy.
Soft play's your oyster here, lad. Do you know what I mean? There's a slide over there, but he's like, no, I'm enjoying this. So I'm a bit worried that we're basically going to walk in. He's going to see Mr. Tuffle. He's going to go, that's me now. Do you know what I mean? Like Kevin Benidorm. Find a man he likes to do 6 hours. And so that's my only concern with CBeebies, that Ted's going to get sort of stuck there. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Sean said to me the week, Mr. Tumble, babysitting the nation. And like, so right, so correct.
He's fucking great. Well, honestly, like, before you have kids, you're like, oh, that fella's a bit weird. But like, he's spot on, like, how like inclusive he is and stuff.
Yeah, it's boss.
The way he does with like kids with disabilities, and he's sad and everything and stuff. He's like, he's a tough fella.
He's our fella wrote songs for Elvis as well. Like,
is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
Some good stock, yeah.
Wow, sir. Yeah. All right then. Do we know which one? It's just out of interest.
No idea.
Album filler material. Well, that's fine. I mean, it's Elvis.
It does this thing called Justin Tells as well.
Oh, that's mad,
and it's like, I'd say during lockdown, it was the best night out in England. Like, all these kids in them, it's rail seating. All these kids are just got, like, they're throwing, like, clippos down them or something before they've gone.
It's like 4 hours back the day, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, these kids are going sick, and you watch it on telly going, like, this. Oh, it might have been. Like we said today for a while, Hot Mike was the best place to watch football. The best night out in England for a while was Justin's house.
Okay, absolute rock solid stuff. I knew that'd be a good question. Honestly, I feel like everyone's learned something. It's like public service broadcasting, that as far as I'm concerned.
The Paw Patrol are grasses.
Yeah, I don't like Paw Patrol.
Yeah. Is that your take?
Yeah, I don't like Paw Patrol. Go Jess, you learn a bit with Go Jess. Is like, you go around the world and you, like, you go to Rome, and then they teach you a bit about the cars. That teaches Ted. I know all of it. Very notes. Go Jess, good guys.
Excellent. All right, Georgie Gill's been on. Hello there. If you had to nominate one of you on the bus loop each of the following, who would it be? Drive. I think I'd pick the driver.
I've been disappointed at what a normal fella he is.
Yeah, he seemed like
just straight.
Nice man.
It's not right that he's got a complete lack of any seediness about him.
We did baselessly accuse him of stealing the sausage rolls at one point, so at least there's that. Like, he's the only one who's been on the bus.
Came through that saga.
Yeah. Those his way around them passport controls, just everyone gets on. And he sounds French.
He's punked me into brand.
Great.
He's, I don't know.
Smart.
Yeah.
He's 9 out of 10 as a driver.
Splendid stuff. Brandon's just there. He was 10 out of 10, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just remember where our bread's buttered. Who would we back to navigate? If it had to be one of us, who would you back to navigate?
Gary Milburn.
Okay. He's currently very asleep, is what I would say. He's currently the most asleep man on the whole bus.
He's going to be awake till Wednesday, man.
Harry could navigate, couldn't she?
Also very asleep, yeah, though, Dan.
She's awake.
Oh, she's...
She's I'll back myself, you know, I'm all right on the maps and stuff, so... I've been colouring the time because of 5 Live meeting us and doing all that, so I do keep an eye on it. So I'll back myself to navigate, if you're allowed to do that.
You are indeed.
Just point it north, and if you get to Scotland, you've gone too far.
Well, I got us to the fan park in Kiev.
That's impressive, man.
It's the driver just decided to... talk about drivers. got lost and went and saw the bus and went, well, you might be going, just follow this bus.
Just the bus?
Yeah. And then I just decided to check because I was panicking because we were on stage at 2 o'clock. We ended up getting there in 2 minutes, dude. That's how fucking 5 minutes, dude. That's how we could say. It's not exaggeration, is it?
No.
So in the end, I was panicking. So I directed him. So I've got experience.
Got experience, okay. Timo was picking the lunch spot. When we going for lunch, who's picking it?
Dan
is doing that.
I'll back Dan.
Dan's going out with a lot of work because I'm picking Dan for the tunes.
Yeah, he's done really well with the tunes, actually.
I haven't been given a chance yet.
It's a tough gig.
I know.
It's a tough gig.
It's essentially contracted at this point.
It is. Like,
there won't be a chance.
It is.
It will be, like.
You need to have like a little like house like party or something.
Yeah.
Do it there.
Yeah, and he'll be back into sleep through the whole trip.
Well, John's doing really well at home.
Yeah,
John Milburn's fastest.
Josh has been rock solid.
I don't think Josh has slept as much as you think, you know.
He's got his eyes closed.
Yeah.
Fuad was asleep by the rocket.
Well, even Fuad said he doesn't actually slept that much.
What?
I know.
I think Joe's the strongest kipper so far.
Joe moved their hand before, got himself comfy, and his hand done a thing where he'd like. Stroked the other hand and he went back to sleep just now. The boss, how comfortable he was.
Yeah,
so you're going to be in a Bond villain?
Yeah, his boss.
Alright, what else have we got to go all the way through here? Lots of bangers, sorry. As we go through the French roads approaching the north of Paris, where are we? What's your plan for Saturday? So what time do you start drinking? Have you got a nap scheduled in like the boys pre-match? There'll be no naps for us, I don't think, Job, we're on. In the fan park, where people want to get down from about 1 p.m. Timo's on as well,
yeah.
So no naps for Timo.
So Timo's on after us, so we're on at 1:15. It opens up at 1. I'm not sure like what that means. Like, I don't think there's doors, it's just outside, but you know, it officially starts at 1. We're on at 1:15. Timo on 2 o'clock after us, are you? So I'll probably have my first, I won't have a drink before we get there. Well, the way to radio in a brewery.
Yeah.
At 7:30.
That's half 7 tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I'll push it back a bit.
Push half it back eight, later for Saturday.
Yeah, 8:20. So, yeah, well, I'll probably have my first. I think we're checking out, aren't we, because we're not staying. So, do that, get there, probably get there at about 12, have a little look at the stage, just it all out, and then get a can. So 12:15.
12:15 seems absolutely spot on. If you are going to come down, by the way, please do come down and see us at 1:15, as we are on very, very early indeed. And then there'll be Timo, and then there's loads of fantastic stuff lined up.
And then there's other people.
Yeah, there's some other characters. What time do you start on Saturday? Because these are tough these days. We know the ropes now. I had just doing the previous podcast before, and I'm lovely chat about it. We know the ropes now of this, and it takes it out of you, the Champions League final. You'll end up dehydrated at some point, stressed out, obviously. When are you going to start drinking?
There's also not a chance that we're going to sleep until after we've got off the ferry in the UK.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought.
No.
So you're looking at like 6 or 7 in the morning then. So I don't think start AM is all that helpful to you in the long run.
Yeah.
We've got to check out, haven't we? So there's a couple of hours there that are essentially purgatory, where you've got to be up and out, but you're not wanting to drink yet. So I'm thinking I might go for a big lovely walk around the Jardin du Luxembourg, which is a Delta Park right in the middle, in the 6th arrondissement. It's got a palace in the middle. It's got a really big pond full of ducks that sprays water and everything. It's just very relaxing, so I think that'd be a good little...
Is that by the Fan Park holding hotel?
It's between the two. It's right in the middle of the city. So the hotel's northwest, the Fan Park southeast. So get off on the way, basically. Do that, then get back on the metro and go there. Because I think that'd be a nice sort of chill yourself out, get your head in the game, think about the match. Sort of a hour-long walk.
Nope, good, George, what do you reckon?
Yeah, sounds solid. I want to do a little bit of sightseeing, so that seems like the best opportunity to do it, because I need to do something that doesn't involve drinking. And as I say, you don't want to start too early on Champions League final day, because don't forget we're an hour later as well, so the kickoff is 8:45, I think, or 9:00. So you know, that's a long day, so you don't want to be going too hard too soon. I want to be able to remember the match as well. You don't get to many European Cup finals, even though you get to 3 in 5 years. And I probably went too hard in Kiev, so hard that I was knocking the bevies back in the stadium thinking I was drinking ale. It was non-alcoholic beer, so
I've done that before. I think at Manamore actually
Madrid was more sensible than that, so this one I'll take the Madrid tactic, which was go out in the day, have a bit of a walk, maybe have a little beer with lunch, but not go and bang into the pints, go home and get changed pre-match, meet new Liverpool t-shirts on and then out for it, so yeah, that's a solid strategy.
What are you feeling, Tim? What's your plan? Do you have a drink before you go on, or are you going to wait till after?
After.
After.
I'll take my time. We'll have some nice food.
Yeah.
A baguette.
Yeah.
Just a baguette.
Relax. Take my time.
It's a big day. It's a long day.
It's a massive day.
A long old day. Nick Sowinski asks this, Tim. Are there more eyes in the world or legs?
Eyes.
There's more eyes than legs. It's just humans.
I was just about to justify it by saying spiders have eight eyes, but they also have eight legs, so that cancels itself out.
it's table legs or eye the needle, stuff like that is what you've got to start thinking about. Forget animals. Animals are none of your business.
I mean, wait there. We need rules here, because there's lots of things with legs.
Yeah.
Lots of things with eyes.
But there's fewer things with eyes, aren't there?
Cat's eyes.
The most ways.
Are they actually eyes, though?
Yeah,
it's all bad for
this. If table legs are legs, this is why you said animals are none of your business. So matter of factly, by the way, there's such certainty.
It just even itself up, Lars.
You reckon?
Yeah.
It's quite worrying that like 1 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, and this is pure Sunday 7 a.m. in the kitchen. Everyone absolutely banjacks, talking shite.
Or getting on or off a ferry territory. What do you reckon?
I was originally just thinking human beings and thought that people were more likely to lose a limb than an eye. But then, it turned out it was sent in by the Riddler, so not anymore.
But there's loads of four-legged animals with only two eyes, right? Loads.
I weren't even thinking as far as animals, George.
Was anyone just going furniture?
No, I think John got to furniture first.
I was completely animal.
I was given an answer because no one knows the answer, so I said eyes.
I had cat's eyes in my back pocket because there's loads of them.
Yeah.
Has anyone got any certainty? What do you reckon? Because you were very, very sure about what
happened. I think there's more needles in the world than you think.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for eyes.
Okay. Eyes as well. Two eyes and a lot of confusion.
Letters as well.
No, we've got to do the spiders.
All eyes, all eyes.
Jokes are jokes, hello.
All eyes.
There's loads of eyes in Scotland.
Excellent stuff. Owen McMahon says, will the rap ever record an agony again? We will, Owen, I promise you, mate. But basically, Liverpool have played every 3 days for about 6 months of our lives, and it's been a difficult one to go all the way through. But obviously also simultaneously a brilliant one. What's the best Scouse accent you've heard in film or television from a non-Scouse actor? Male or female, I hasten to add. Best Scouse actor accent in film or TV from a non-Scouse actor. A lot of real pets, a lot of staring out the window.
I can't think of any. So,
Anne was good. Anne Williams, the lady played Anne Williams.
Maxine Peake.
She was excellent. I think that's my answer.
She was good. She was good.
A lot of people like your man, didn't they? They did the thing recently, but I didn't watch it.
I didn't see that.
I watched it. What he nailed was actually Scout's face.
Yes.
As much as
he did mannerisms well.
The mannerisms were absolutely spot on.
What's his name, Martin?
Martin from Scout. So he nailed Scout's face more than the accent. But the face is arguably...
Like, best in Scout's face?
Yeah, they haven't nailed. Obviously, they're boxed. Dan?
I'm going to say the same answer for best and worst. Dean Sullivan, Jimmy Corkill. Simultaneously.
Okay. Is he not originally from Liverpool?
He is.
Yeah, but he's still got a fucking insane accent.
Yeah, but it says non-Scouse, and we want a non-Scouse accent. We'll come back to you, Timo.
Bernard Hill's good, isn't he? But he's the last one.
Yeah.
Shirley Valentine, is she from the pool? Julie Walters?
I don't think she is, she?
No.
And the girl who was in Brookside, he was... what's his name's wife? Sheila Coleman. I don't think she's from the pool either. Hey, what's his name? Ricky Thomason? He's from Blackpool.
What?
He's from Blackpool, isn't he?
Is he?
I did not know that.
I do know that.
All right, George.
No,
I mean, he knocks around the floor, so I'm just trusting Timo. Yeah, Timo could be, you know, could be spinning me a yarn here, but I'm trusting him. You spend quality time with Tomlinson.
I'm not checking.
You're not checking?
No. I've no idea. I can't think of any.
No idea.
Any no advance.
No advance on where we are. What's your wine game?
Oof.
Especially if we're going to France. What's your wine game?
I think more red than white, but I think white, I like white better than red. It's just a company's food for me. It's very rare that I go and get a bottle of wine. I'll have a pint. Okay. So, yeah.
Drink more red than white, but you prefer white?
Yeah. I like a good Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay. I've got a wine for you. If we go to a nice cafe where we can buy some wine, I've got a wine for you.
Thank you.
Excellent. Good news. Good job.
I had to sort of lay off it a little bit, really. You've got to basically not drinking on the head, more or less, when you have a baby, especially the second one. So basically, you stop a couple of weeks before, just in case.
You
need to drive anywhere, yeah. And then when a baby comes, like, the last thing you want is a drink, because you just, you know, you're not sleeping, blah, blah, blah. So I even had, got to the point where I'm getting, non-alcoholic beer in the house, just because, which I thought I'd never be that fella. Just because, on a Friday night, it was nice to have, the feeling of a couple of beers on a Friday. So I did about 3 months off the rail when you sort of had it all up.
Just
stood on Craig there, by the way. Amazing. So it's December, January, February. So basically, this is a long way of saying I'm not very good at drinking anymore. I'm not as good as I used to be. Do you know what I mean? And so when I've had a bit of wine, it sent me a bit west. So basically, I'm all right on beer again. So I need to just stick on beer. Whereas, if I go into spirits, I had loads of gin at our live show on Saturday and just got swatted. If I have more than a glass, but we'll go to France, so I'm going to try and, we go to a nice restaurant, so I'm hoping we go tonight, have a bit of wine or something, but, I couldn't drink it all evening, and I'd be, someone would be taking me home, and that's no one's responsibility.
Okay, Dan?
Unquestionably one of the most committed Pinot men in the game.
Loves the Grieche.
Yeah.
Would you call yourself a Pinot file?
You're not allowed.
You're sat far away enough from the microphone that I think the gag may not have even come across.
No, yeah, that's absolutely too close. Yeah.
I'm not going to commit to it though for this, because I will not remember the shit. So I think, like John was saying, with dinner and everything, but I'm not just going to start at 11 tomorrow, for example.
Yeah.
Because that's...
I think you're making our lives, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you want, George? As a man of taste and discernment.
Yeah. I mean, I'm banging to be wine. So I'm banging to it. There's an Aldi red at the moment, which is spot on. It's a Portuguese Douro, which I'm really into. That's a go-to red wine. Last time I was in France, I was in Bordeaux for work. We went to a lovely restaurant, and there was a winery really close by, and they sold a wine called Caroline, which was a Semillon Chardonnay blend, and I've got it indelibly on the retinas because I remember it so well. It was that good. It was about 30 degrees outside, an ice cold white wine, which is absolutely beautiful. So I'm going to buy Timo a bottle because he'll absolutely love it, and that'll be a celebratory wine for Sunday, right?
Thank you. The celebratory wine is good news. Johnny Roche has been on, and he wants to know who would win out of all of us on the bus. A tournament, a game of pools.
I'd back you, actually, Neil. I think you're good at games. You'd be really competitive. I think you've probably played before at some point.
I have played pool, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
The game of pools.
So I'd back you. In terms of others, Harriet's more competitive than you think, so you'd have to watch her, but I'm not sure how much pool she's played.
Yeah.
I think everyone else would just have a nice time. So I'll back you, Neil.
Okay. Tim.
I'll go with you, because I've never played it. I wouldn't even know. The storm where you throw them like metal balls, yeah.
It's like in sand, so they don't bounce, basically. Well, they bounce once.
They bounce a little bit, but they want to load for you.
I wouldn't be that good at that.
They've got a lot of action on that.
Michael is quite good at things.
Yeah, he is, for sure.
So I'll go with Michael.
Like sporting. So
yeah. You're a player.
Yeah. I reckon he's unspeakably good at table football.
Not allowed to spin.
No, he wouldn't even dream of doing that. But he knocks it back at every
degree.
Oh, really? I'm making this up. He's doing cutbacks in my mind. George.
I'm backing Gary, Gary Milburn, who's quietly sat at the back of the bus. He's dead competitive, really good at sports, really good at pub games. I reckon he's going to kill it.
Because it is a glorified club game after all.
It's about the Olympics.
Absolutely, yes. It is a glorified pub game, albeit one that is mostly done outside. We get towards the end of the questions that don't sort of cover some of your other questions to an extent. Tom Jones asks Timmer, which city where Liverpool haven't yet won a European Cup would you most like to go to a final in? So of cities that could host a final where Liverpool haven't yet won, which one would you most like to go to?
Glasgow would be good, wouldn't it?
Glasgow would be interesting, it's fair to say,
I'd like that, Glasgow, I'd love Glasgow.
Glasgow's rock solid, Dan.
Zagreb. I guess maybe it's got a big enough ground. I want Southern Europe. Northern European away, I know where near as good as Southern European ones. So my original thought was Vienna, because I've never been to Vienna and I'd really like to go. And I'm sure they have got a ground. Then I thought it should be a bit Germany, which is actually quite a shit Euro away destination on the slide. So I'd like to eat.
With an exception, I think Berlin would get my attention big time.
Well, you've got loads of other reasons and ways to get to Berlin. Was me thinking. I'd like somewhere a bit special.
The ones in the left.
Like Kiev. No one else went to final in Kiev.
Yeah.
I'd like to open a Liverpool inside. That would be a thing.
Okay. It's all very fair.
Just only open it a little bit.
George, where would you like to go for this final? We've somewhere we've never played one.
I guess in the continental sense, it'd have to be Manchester. So big European Cup win in Manchester. They get a proper parade, you know, right up Dean's Gates. We can start the parade there, have it all the way along, line the M62. And we'd have a 35-mile parade as opposed to the 0.8-mile one that they had on Monday or whatever that was. So yeah, definitely Manchester. Really wet, really miserable. 1-0 win, and then a big parade.
Excellent stuff. All right then, we're all going to do another couple before we end it all. LFC Mumble asked this to me, and I'd like to the answer this now. Have you ever pissed yourself on a bus or a coach?
Come close a couple of times, and it's like shit. Bad's going on here.
Yeah, we've got problems. We need to get off.
I had an instance in the New Order in Heath Park gig. I couldn't make it to the toilet, so I put a cup down my pants.
Yeah.
And weed in the cup into said crowd. But I didn't realise the cardboard cups just implode on themselves with any kind of fraction. And as I pulled out my caps, it just busted went all down my legs. And that wasn't too good.
Did you have shorts on?
Jeans. Probably cords.
Cords.
Oh, they should be fucking terrible, big brown ones.
Yeah, no, the cords are always terrible for that situation.
Horrible.
It's not what you want at all. George, you're not a man to, control yourself.
Solid bladder control, pelvic floor muscles, exercises done regularly and all that.
Excellent stuff. Good to know.
Could you do a bin run, George?
What's that?
Could you do a bin run?
I can, of course.
Okay.
Okay, Dan, you've always managed to hold together on a coach from what I've seen.
I have resorted to a plastic bottle a couple of times previously. I think it was around the 2012 final, so I was between 16, 17, and the people I was with refused to stop the services. So it was either piss myself or a plastic bottle.
That feels like punishment, to be honest with you. It feels unpleasant. I'm saying it's bullying. I'm not going to snatch it. Yeah, it's nasty. There's no need for it. John, have you ever pissed yourself on a bus or a coach?
No.
No. No cuts?
No. I remember being in LA. Getting a bus on LA is just a bad experience. But when we were 22, we were skint. So we were if you want to go to the beach, you were on the bus. I remember someone pissing themselves on the bus, and it got them down the bus. We'd made loads of lunch and had it on the floor, and basically realised too late that
piss.
Yeah, yeah.
Piss soaked sandwiches.
Yeah, so we had to just lash him. Real shame.
Real shame, indeed. Okay, well then we're going to do sort of one more now. A lot of food questions which relate themselves to the bus. A lot of love for some Aldi crisps, just in general. That's come through in a number of different ways. Is anyone going to go and see the Mona Lisa? Phil Blundell's asked this, what time are we going to go and see the Mona Lisa? Is anyone going to go to the Louvre? Are we going to go and see the Mona Lisa?
No. Realistically, no. I've seen it.
I've seen it. It's alright.
I liked it. It's you know, I was going to say it's quite small, and that makes me sound like a philistine. Like, how big does our need to be? Yes, you know, do you judge it by the size, do you really? But you know.
Is there always loads of people around it when you see it?
Yeah, and it's behind glass as well, so that takes a bit of the, you know, you want to like immerse yourself in the art, don't you? And it's tougher when there's glass.
Yeah. Last time I was in Paris, I went to a couple of, really good modern art museum. My team can squeeze one in somewhere. Tim, are we going to go and see the Mona Lisa?
No.
No? George?
Maybe. I tried to, when I was in New York last, I went to a museum of modern art and saw Van Gogh's Starry.
There's so many people crowded around that, don't we? Yeah. I found it quite stressful.
I was forced that it was dead quiet when I went there, so I got within, you know, 6 inches of it, and it felt monumental being so close to such an impressive piece of art, and art can do that to you, think. So if I get the chance, yeah.
It's funny you say that, because what I was thinking, when you asked the question, I started thinking about the Van Gogh in Amsterdam is unreal.
Yeah.
The museum is unreal.
Is it, yeah?
And, like, there's so much of his gear in there that, like, you know, everyone spaces out. And so, like, I mean, there's other attractions available in Amsterdam, that's, shall we say. A bit like there is in Paris this weekend, so you might think, like, you might be thinking, John, I'm going to go to Amsterdam, we're going to do this. And I'd say, fine, but give yourself a morning, afternoon, and go. It's brilliant.
Okay, that's it. I don't think the Louvre's that good, to be honest. If people are actually interested in going and seeing things, the Musée d'Orsay is better.
Yeah.
The Pompidou Centre is good as well. And I really like the Stravinsky Fountain, which is, yeah, a fountain, but it's got different bits of, like, physical art installed into it by an artist called Nikita Samphal, who is one of my favourite artists.
Great stuff. I'm trying to sort of find where I went last time, but I'm sort of struggling with it a little bit. I think, you know, I went to the Musée d'Orsay last time, yeah.
It's not too far from the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, I went to the Musée d'Orsay last time.
It's good.
I really enjoyed it. Thought it was the absolute business. Okay then, I think that's sort of us on the questions. Let's do a little bit more on the prospect of what is to come. Are you at the point where you're psyched up? Because I've been psyched up since probably before even the last league game, if you know what I mean. I've just been thinking this will be something special, this will be a sight to be behold.
Yeah, well, me and Harry went to media day yesterday, and that was really good in terms of quality to be fun, but also, like, you know, helping psych yourself up. You know, we send all the t-shirts out and stuff this week, and just everything gets you in the mood. Like, I think this job sort of, like, I don't know, just sort of extends it all a little bit more, really. Like, there's no distractions. It's a bit like Christmas when I used to be in the brass band. Really. And, like, by Christmas Eve, I'd done, like, 12 gigs. And you're like, yeah, and someone goes, are you feeling Christmassy yet? And you're like, yeah, that fucking am. By the way, right, yeah. I played Rudolph 14 times. But I enjoyed it, and it was good. And, you know, as I say, like, there was never a year when I was doing it where, like, you know, I was like, oh, you know, Christmas passed me by. Let's say that. And so doing this job, it sort of feels a bit like that, really. Like, you know, when football's your passion, also your work, it does get all-consuming. But don't get me wrong, that can be, like, not ideal, but for stuff like this, it is great. And, you know, it means that you are straight on to the next thing, and when the next thing's amazing, like, this is brilliant. So, yeah, going yesterday was boss, seeing how relaxed everyone was, but also, you know, you want to win this, you know what I mean? You can see around their eyes, they back themselves, they back each other, the managers, you know, the manager. You know what I mean? He's just endlessly in clock. And I think the quietly confidence, I mean, not as confident as Benzema claims they are, the mad bastard, but that seems to be, like, I don't know, just what people in football do now, just fucking say mad shit. Like Pep Guardiola saying everyone's supposed to Liverpool. You know, people are saying these, maybe it's always happened, I don't know, but it seems to be particularly prevalent at the moment, just to say stuff to make yourself sound the underdog or siege mentality or whatever, but I think Liverpool, you know, they back themselves. So yeah, that was a long winded way of saying, yeah, I'm excited, you know, you don't want to sort of peak too early kind of thing, but yeah, it's nearly there now, isn't it? It's a couple of days away.
For peaking too early, wait till 5 Live, get me off this bus. Timo, are you in the moment now?
I feel like I'm in the moment, to be fair. I do feel like, you know, Madrid was fantastic, it was great, it was brilliant, but this feels a bit different. Coming earlier as well, doesn't feel rushed, feel like I can relax.
Not quite as hot, yeah. Which I think helps. Because Madrid, and we all talked about a little bit in the football sense, But it was basically 2.5 days of just sweating profusely, and it made it all a bit unpleasant. This being a bit cooler, I think, is something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, and just, you know, it just feels like I'm going on a really, really, really fantastic trip. So, like, you know, turning 40, seeing, like, you know, going to Wembley the first time a couple of weeks ago, this just feels like the cherry on top. You know, it feels like I'm really excited for it. What a great few days.
George?
Yeah,
all in.
Yeah, all in. It feels monumental. And I was just thinking on the way here, like, what we've got to look forward to. Like, I've never been to Stade de France, so going into a new stadium, seeing the Reds play in a new setting, looking at the end, looking at all the banners, you know, you can visualise that because we've seen it in so many finals so many times before. But, like, I think one of the reasons why you love doing this, and, you know, all the people we see going to match, you know, all the people we see, the familiar faces. But there's a magic in seeing familiar faces in unfamiliar places, and we'll go somewhere else and see all the same people that we see every week, and then we'll give them big hugs, and it'll be amazing because we're all here for the same purpose, which is to watch the Reds win the European Cup, and I can't wait, and I feel like it's going to happen, and I'm all in 100%.
So in Madrid they had to win.
Yeah.
In Kyiv they didn't, but in Madrid they have to win. Where's the after-win scale on this one?
Not quite as high as Tottenham, but not far off.
Like, if Tottenham was a 10 out of 10, I'd have to win. I'm saying it's about 8.
Yeah, I was going to say 8, something like that. Because I think they are objectively the stronger team.
And everything else through the season.
Yeah. And it just feels like it would be an enormous shame. It wouldn't take anything away from, you know, the experience and the feelings that everyone's had across the course of the whole year. But it would be a shame if we end up going to that parade on Sunday once we get back and there's not the big one getting held up at the front. It just wouldn't feel quite right or merited. It would feel like they're being shafted somehow. But, you know, Real Madrid possess probably the best player in the world at the minute on form, certainly anyway, and a lot of other brilliant ones, and a manager that has got a really good record against Liverpool and could become the most decorated manager in European history as well, if he wins it. So I don't really have Liverpool as, like, especially strong favourites, or played like maybe 51-49 to us, to be honest, and a little more than that. But I really, really do want us to win the European Cup, which, you know, is fairly obvious. But Kyiv was alright. I think in the grand scheme of things, as a fan base, we took it fairly well that they hadn't won that. And it felt like the start point of a team becoming brilliant, whereas the team now is just brilliant, and now is when you want the numbers on the board and you want the moments to show for it. So I am quite determined that they should win the match.
There we go, quite determined that they should win the match. That is indeed the spirit. John Gibbons, Dan Austin, Tim O'Tierney, George Trad, Craig Hannon still in his den. We are still on the march. See you soon.